This is 1, 2, 3. This is Andy Salt with Jason French from ATD, Fourth World, and they're kind of responsible for the UN data end extreme poverty. So, hi Jason.
Hi.
Can you tell me a little bit more about how the 17th of October came about?
Okay, so the 17th of October was first commemorated in 1987 by ATD Fourth World International, in partnership with many, many other organisations and individuals from all over the world, in fact. It was the main sort of focus of the event was the commemoration of a stone which was placed in the Human Rights Plaza, which is where the same place that the Declaration for Human Rights was signed, and so it's quite a significant place. It's quite near the Eiffel Tower in Paris.
Yeah.
And so about 100,000 people gathered on that day. There were all sorts of events, as you can imagine, lots of talks, lots of speeches, lots of dignitaries who were there. But the day is really about the injustice of extreme poverty.
Yeah.
And so the commemoration stone has on it written this the following sort of message, which is, and I'll try and get this right without any notes in front of me, is wherever men and women are condemned to live in extreme poverty, human rights are violated. To come together to ensure these rights are respected is a solemn duty. And so, and that's pretty much at the heart of what ATD Fourth World International works towards and believes in. Okay, so that was the first time that day was commemorated.
Yep.
And it was commemorated, has been commemorated ever since. We worked quite hard in those first few years to get the through representation at international organisations. We have reps at the UN, and we know lots of people who are who have a bit of influence. We really wanted this day not to just stay with us and the people who were there in 1987, but for it to be recognised as an international day officially. And so, in 1992, the United Nations did take the decision to make it one of those official days that governments are invited to sign up to and to actively promote and take part in. And so, which is of course an ongoing process. But the day has gained in strength really as time has gone on.
So the 17th of October is celebrated around the world to commemorate sort of ending world poverty.
Absolutely, yeah. It's commemorated in many, many different countries by many, many different organisations, not just ATD Fourth World, but a lot of individuals and groups have taken it on themselves as a day to sort of commemorate people living in extreme poverty and the injustices that they face in their lives and the difficulties that they go through.
And I guess that's what it's not quite the 17th of October. We're here at the nearest weekend, so most people can attend. But this is the 15th of October. We're here at Brookwood Cemetery to on a walk to look at the sort of paupers' war graves from some people in London who couldn't afford to have a burial. That's kind of very much in the spirit of the day, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The day here has been organised not by ATD Fourth World, but by the Surrey Heath Coalition Against Poverty. Again, you know, many groups have taken this on as their day, and the Surrey Heath Coalition has sort of done that for the last few years, and we're very grateful for them to for that. And it's been the last 3 or 4 years we've been coming here to Brookwood. Basically, we come to an area which is woodland, basically, where the poor of London were buried from the mid-1800s to the mid-1900s, pretty much, in graves which are mostly unmarked. So it's quite a significant place. You know, these people who lived and died and had families and friends and had a history, and in death, because of their poverty, they have no history, they have no place, and that's it's a big shame, really.
Now tell me a little bit about what the work that your organisation does to sort of help people in poverty and sort of work towards eradicating poverty, because you're quite a huge organisation. What, you're in 30 countries?
Yeah.
And you're actually based in Frimley as well, or you have an office in Frimley?
Yeah.
So that's something a lot of people wouldn't recognise. We've got this huge organisation out there fighting poverty that's actually on our doorstep.
Well, I mean, you say huge, but even though we're in 30 countries worldwide, as international organisations go, we're actually quite small. There are only about 400 of us full-time workers, though we are sort of supported by many other individuals, both poor and not poor. The interesting thing about our organisation is we're not a user, that's a sort of client user type organisation. The people that we work with are members of our organisation and our partners. We very much believe that solutions to poverty don't come from decisions from on high or from the better off people in society, but that people in poverty have solutions themselves. They understand their poverty, they understand their problems, and they have to be part of the solution for that solution to work, because if not, you leave behind the people who are the hardest to reach. And one of our philosophies, in fact, is reaching the poorest, the most difficult to reach. If you can reach the poorest, most difficult people to reach, then you reach everyone. If not, then you work with the easier people and you further exclude, if you will, or further isolate those who don't benefit from whatever solutions you come up with. As to our projects around the world, they are very, very varied. In fact, we have many layers to our work, which most organisations don't have. We have many, many grassroots projects in developed and developing countries, in a lot of poor neighbourhoods or villages, rural poverty, as well as urban poverty, and depending on the culture, the country, the issues that are there at the time, we have many small projects, pilot projects if you will, which can be based around either health or education or housing or whatever. I mean, these projects are built in partnership with the people themselves, and so they vary from team to team according to what sort of grows organically, if you will, from the people who build those projects, which is a hallmark of ATD Fourth World, really.
Can you tell me what couple? So give me a couple of examples.
Okay, couple of examples. There are lots of places we use a very, very simple project to introduce ourselves into poor neighbourhoods. Poor neighbourhoods are not just somewhere you can just go and say, right, I've arrived, let's do a project. And so we've had an ongoing project called Street Library, which is a very, very simple concept. And it's basically taking a blanket and some books, maybe some arts and craft materials, into a poor area, setting it all down in full public view, and getting to know the kids, and through the kids getting to know the parents and gaining their trust, and over time, maybe over 2 or 3 years, building a project off of that. We have, especially in developing countries, we have access to health projects, places where there may already be some healthcare, but where it's more accessible to people who are better off. And so the poorest, most marginalised people won't necessarily have access to that for many reasons, cultural as well as geographical as well as monetary. And so those projects, for example, may be to bring together the different members of the community where there may be mistrust between different parts of the community already. Maybe some parts think that this other part shouldn't have access to it, it's their domain, and building sort of cohesion in the community in that sort of way. So that's a sort of community development side which we often have.
Can you tell me about what projects you're involved with in Camberley and sort of that Surrey Heath area?
Okay, so in the local area we have a place called Frimhurst Family House, which is basically a respite centre for families living in extreme poverty. And we are a national organisation, though very small, very much emphasis on small national organisation. Again, as I said earlier, our goal is the eradication of extreme poverty. It's not the alleviation of immediate poverty. There are many organisations out there, food banks, advocacy agencies, where families can get immediate help for immediate crises. Uh-huh. Our goal is a long-term goal, the eradication of extreme poverty. There's a difference between poverty and extreme poverty I won't go into straight away.
Okay.
And so very much our focus is on, through our projects, which are mostly based in London, where we have policy projects. So working with partners to change policy, to raise awareness of poverty issues. Frimhurst is a nice big Victorian manor house with 7 acres of grounds, great facilities. And we offer respite breaks to disadvantaged families there. Not just because they need that sort of respite, but it's also a bit like the street libraries. It's a way of them coming and getting to know us and us getting to know them, so that we can go on to do further work together, so they can become members of our organisation. They can gain in confidence, self-worth, they can have that break which allows them to do that, and then they can hopefully change their change their lives is not the best way to put it exactly, but they can gain that sort of hope and self-confidence that means that they have better tools to change their lives and to help their kids. And many of them go on to take part in our other projects, to be full members in our other projects, whether that be advocacy work or just generally as spokespeople for ATD Fourth World. I mean, we've just had the we were just in the chapel having a sort of little commemoration for the day, and I came along with 2 members of ATD Fourth World, and one of them stood up and gave the message. Yeah. That came from the international...
That's a brilliant message. I mean, it started with, "Let us dare to work for justice and peace," which I think is one of the original messages from the sort of founder of the UN Day to Eradicate Poverty.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And it's quite a deep thing, that, so let us dare, Let us dare to work for justice and peace, because it's not something that comes easily. It's not something that just happens. You've got to be daring in many ways to bring people together, to get past sort of the mistrust, the misunderstandings that people have, the poor towards the rich towards the poor, the various religions between themselves, whoever, to bring people together. Yeah. Around a common message, which goes beyond their differences, which goes beyond who they are and where they're from, is quite audacious, in fact. And that's something we try to do wherever we can.
It's very, very commendable. It's brilliant. Thanks for updating me on what ATD do. Can you tell me about this workshop now that's happening this afternoon on the 15th of October?
Okay, well, we're just going to go back to Frimhurst. We're going to have a little bit to eat. We're going to watch a few little videos from local organisations and what they're involved in. Little bit of a talk about the day again, and then we're just going to do a little creative workshop, which I've sort of put together in my inexpert inexpert way. But it should be quite good. We've had to get our hands dirty. A bit of painting, a bit of collage, make a nice banner for the day, actually.
So it's a day for all the family?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and yeah. You've got a balloon release, is that right? A helium balloon release, is that happening?
Yes, we're hoping the balloon release will happen. It depends on how long it takes to finish off all the proceedings and whether it gets dark on us or not.
But nevertheless, beautiful grounds to have all that.
Yes.
Brilliant. Jason, thank you very much.
No problem.